have in Parshas Sambar. Reviewing Parshas Sambar, what comes to mind is something that Rav Palm said at a Tarvatas dinner when he was the honoree. I believe it was after 60 years that he was in yeshiva. He got up to speak, and he said the following vart, which comes from the Chassam Sefer, on this week's parasha. This week's parasha, we have the mitzvah of the Kiddush Toig, Yeslechem Alekecha Umakriyah, Kodesh Yalach, Kodesh Ani Hashem Mekadesh Chami, the mitzvah of the Mekadesh Akayim. And Rashi brings a Gemara in Gittin, which is well known. The Haibai Kedusha, Mesfayach Rishon B'chol Davar, Lavarach Rishon B'suda. That this is a mitzvah to honor the Kayin by allowing him to be first in any Davarship Kedusha. The Shulchan Aruch Evan Ezer, Simon Gimel, it says that if a Kayin walks into Shul and he says, Kayin Ani, he tells us he's a Kayin. That's not enough to give him the first Aliyah. Because we only give the Kayin the first Aliyah if he's Muzik as a Kayin. We know that he's considered a Kayin by his neighbors and friends. If a stranger walks in and says Kayin Ani, that's not enough of an emunis to give him the first Aliyah. That's what it says in the Shulchan Aruch. Now, if this strange, seems strange to you as Halacha L'maisa, that's because the Rama disagrees. The Rama is Nagel. The Rama says that he is believed that a Kayin who walks in is given the first Aliyah. And that's the practice that we're all familiar with. What is the reason for the Rama's psak? The Beis Shmuel says, because you don't lose. If he's a Kayin, you're giving him the first Aliyah as a Kayin. If he's not a Kayin, well, if you would have given it to Yisrael, so you wouldn't be honoring a Kayin. You might as well give it to him and let him get the Aliyah. Rav Palm asked, does that fair? Because that explanation makes sense if he's the only person in Shul who claims to be a Kayin. So then you lose nothing by giving him the Aliyah, because even if he's lying, you lose nothing. You would not have given the Kayin an Aliyah anyhow. However, what happens if there are other Kayin in the Shul? The Rama still says that you can give him the Aliyah based on his say-so. How could you do that? You're being mevatel a mitzvah saseh, because it's possible that he's not a Kayin. And by giving him the Aliyah, you're failing to give a true Kayin the Aliyah. Chassam Sefer answers this question. Rav Sefer says that the mitzvah to give honor to Kohuna is a mitzvah to give honor to the institution of Kohuna, to the family of Kayanim, to the children of Aharon HaKayan. If someone comes into Shul and he says, I'm a Kayan, it may be that he's not really a Kayan. Nevertheless, if the reason you're giving him the Aliyah is because you understand that he's a Kayan, and based on that you give him the first Aliyah, you are Mekayim the mitzvah of giving honor and Kedusha to the children of Aaron. He may not be a child of Aaron, but you gave him the Aliyah because he claimed to be a Kayim. You were giving honor to Kahuna. In your mind, you were giving honor to the family of Kayanim. Even if Kav Yishmaya Galia, even if in truth he's not a Kayim, nevertheless, you are Mekayim the mitzvah of giving honor to Kahuna. How did this come to be Rav Palm's address at the dinner? He said the following. He said that when he's given the honor at the dinner, and honor all over the place, that people refer to him as a Gadol Hadar, as a Talmud Chacham, Rav Palm in his humility said, it causes me pain, because I know I'm not deserving of these honors. He said, Chassam Sefer gives me comfort, because even if in truth I'm not deserving of these honors, but since people think I'm a Talmud Chacham, and they give me honor as a Talmud Chacham, they're honoring the institution of Talmidei Chachamim. They're honoring the Torah. So says Rav Palm, I don't feel bad anymore getting this honor, because people thinking I'm a Talmud Chacham means that they're giving honor to the institution of Talmidei Chachamim, to the group of Talmidei Chachamim, the Torah in general. That's where Rav Palm said a beautiful vart. Tahara. Lefiza, it would turn out that if a Kayan were to want to be Mishamish someone, let's say the Kayan wanted to serve someone, being a Kayan, there's a machlekes rishayim, if a Kayan could be Michael on his kahuna. That is, the says, at the end of Siman Kuf Chaf Ches, that a Kayin could be Michael as Kavit and could serve someone who's not a Kayin. The Gross says that the Rambam disagrees. The Rambam says that a Kayin cannot be Michael. And the Mishnah Berurah brings it as a Machlaikis Lahalach. If you have a Kayin that would like to forego his Kavit, but he can't be Michael. He can go into a shul and pretend that he's not a Kayin. By doing so, when someone is Mishamish with him, he's not violating the Kedusha of the Kuhna. He doesn't know he's a Kayin. And since, according to the explanation of some Seifer, it all depends on what's going on in the person's mind, this would be an Eitzah Chayra for a Kayin who wants to be Mishamish. At any rate, the concept is a beautiful concept of Kvayt Kuhna. A second thought regarding this week's Parasha and Kuhna. There's a well-known Kasha, and I believe I spoke about it last year, to which I have a new teretz to offer this year, a beautiful teretz. The Kasha is, why, when it talks about a Kayin Hedyet, at the beginning of the Parasha, it says that he may be Mitame, he's permitted to be Mitame, Li'imai Ula'avit, his mother and his father, mentioning the mother first. Later, when it comes to the Kayin Gadol, however, it reverses the order. Like in Gadol, it says that he may not be Mitame, Va'avit Uli'imai Va'yitama. His father and mother, he may not be Mitame, there it puts father before mother. The Rabban explains why in the beginning of the parasha it says mother first. But he's silent when it comes to Kayin Gadol, and it says father first and mother second. And therefore, many of the Mepharshim look for different answers to explain why it's changed, the order has changed when it comes to the Kayin Gadol. Rav Yeshua Leib Diskin says such a beautiful teretz. The Maral Diskin writes that the order is based on the people of that generation. The people of that generation, well, HaKayin Gadol Mi'echav, well, that was Aaron HaKayin. Aaron was a Kayin Gadol. But, the Maral Diskin brings, that both of his parents had already passed away. So this Pasuk La'aviv Uli'imai La'yitama would never have to do with Aaron HaKayin. Who then would be the first Kayin Gadol to whom this would be Nogaya? His son, Elazar ben Aaron HaKayin, would be the next Kayin Gadol on the passing of his father. And he would be the first Kayin Gadol to whom this Pasuk is addressed. So let's think. Rav Elazar, son of Aaron, we're telling you that when you become a Kayin Gadol, don't be Mitame to your father and your mother. Let's see. His mother? If his mother went to pass away first, this would not be the game. Because if his mother passes away first, his father is still Kayin Gadol. And then, there's no way that this would apply to Elazar. Elazar would still be a Kayin Hedyet. To him, the Shiloh would come up first when his father passes away. On Aaron's Petira, the Kuna Gedaluh would pass to Elazar. Elazar, now being a Kayin Gadol, would be commanded not to be Mitame to Aaron. Later, if his mother were to pass away subsequently, then this Pasuk would apply to him. Speaking to the people standing at that generation, Moshe Rabbeinu said, Lo'aviv Uli'imai Lo'yitama, father first. Because to you, practical term, this would come up first for a father. Beautiful pshat. Let me turn to a pshat that has to do with Sfiras HaOmer, which is not only this week's parasha, but is also Yonah D'Yayma. We're now in Sfira. Many people have asked me why we call this the Omer, the days of the Omer. What is the Omer? The Omer is a carbon brought on the second day of Pesach. And that's the day we start counting the Sfira. The 49 days, it would seem, has zero to do with the Omer. It's just the starting point of the counting, it seems, just coincidentally. We're actually counting from Pesach to Shavuos. It's funny that we call it Sfiras HaOmer. The Sefer HaKstav is the HaKabbalah. He says a beautiful shot, which is also a great insight into the 49 days of Sfira. He asks a different question. Why in this week's parasha it says Sheva Shabbosai Timimai Sfira? It calls the 7 weeks Shabbosai. Whereas in Parshas Re'eh, when it talks about Sfira, it refers to the 7 weeks as Sheva Shavuos, 7 weeks. Why here Shabbosais and there Shavuos? He explains as follows. Now really, they're Shavuos, they're weeks. Why here does it refer in Sfira to the seven Shabbos. Shabbos is a language which implies a change, a break, a time to rest, a time to change a person's halacha. He says, well, this is Parsha. The Parsha brings the Pasuk of the Yomer, then instructs us regarding the counting of the Yomer, Shabbos, Shabbos, is to be nice. And then it says, Ad mimachas HaShabbos HaShviyas Tisbuchem Yishim Yayim V'kraftem Mincha Chadash Ol Hashem, at the end of the 49 days of Shavuos. But it doesn't say Shavuos, it says the day that you bring the Shtei HaLechem, which is an offering brought at the end of the 49 days, on the 50th day. It seems to mix not only the Omer into the mitzvah of the 7 weeks, but also the Shtei HaLechem. It says HaKsava HaKabbalah, beautifully. The Omer was an offering of barley brought on Pesach, which was not here. It permitted Jews to eat from the new crop of wheat. During those 7 weeks, it was still prohibited to bring from the new crop on the Mizbeach. On Shavuos, the Shtei HaLechem offering, which was wheat, was not here. It permitted bringing from the new crop on the Mizbeach as a carbon. It says the Sefer HaKtava HaKabbalah, for these 7 weeks, the Omer mattered. Because for these 7 weeks, there was a makir, something that permitted, that made a break with the past, and permitted the eating of the new crop to ordinary people. If the Shavuos was mutter everywhere, it didn't need the Omer. It was really the Shtei HaLechem that permitted it everywhere. The 7 weeks, these are the 7 weeks of the Omer. The 7 weeks where the Omer has an influence. Sheva Shabbosais, the language of Shabbos, he says, is the lashon of a break with what was behind before it, a change. And now, the Omer created 7 weeks of Yemei HaOmer. Beautiful thought, a beautiful art. It connects the Omer to these 7 weeks. But it's really also an insight. Because the Omer is barley, animal food. Shtei HaLechem, achitim, the fine bread that we eat. When Klal Yisrael left Mitzrayim, until they got the Torah, it was a freedom. Something new was mutter. But it was inferior. It was before being obligated to keep the mitzvah. It was an inferior time. When they came to Shavuos, they brought the Shtei HaLechem. It was a time of Kabbalah HaTorah, a time of something superior happened to them. And that's symbolized by the fact that their new heter, symbolized by permission to eat the new crop, was the finer food, was wheat. So actually, these are 7 weeks of Omer. 7 weeks of an inferior state. A state of sort of a barley heder. A time that will lack in Kabbalah Satayr. Afterwards, the time of Shtei HaLechem is a superior time. And it's interesting that those who say Hinnini Muchan or Mezuman, when we talk about the Sefiras HaOmer every night, we mention both Karbanis. We say the Pasuk of the Machras, a Shabbos, miyayim hadiyachem es aymer atanufa. We mentioned the aymer, and we say tisruch hamishim yayim dekraf demincha chadash al Hashem. We mentioned the Shtei HaLechem. Without this barn, it would be strange to mention the aymer and the Shtei HaLechem. But this is really an extraordinary insight into Sefiras HaOmer. Let me leave you with a question which goes back to the topic of kahuna, on which my first two verdlichos today were. There's a mitzvah for Kayin Gadol to marry only Isha Bipsuleh HaYikach. He may not marry any woman. A Grusha, whether she's divorced, an Almana, or even a Zaina. Anybody who's had relations with a man before is asked to him, Ufehu Isha Bipsuleh HaYikach. The Rambam has two interesting sheetahs here. In the Sefer HaMitzvah, Mr. Zasei Mamet Chesi writes, that not only is it a law for a Kayin to marry someone he's not allowed to marry, but it's a mitzvah Zasei, Vuhu Isha Mitzvah Yika. It's a separate mitzvah, Mitzvah Lamed Ches, and Sefer HaMitzvah. Rambam also has another interesting shita. He says a Kayin is not allowed to be married to two women. He's not allowed to have two wives. And that is because on Yom Kippur, it says, Chiper Ba'adayu Va'ad Beisai. He forgives for his family, Beisai Lashon Yachid. He's not permitted to have two wives. If so, I have the following question. Confuses me greatly. A man becomes Kayin Gadol. In all likelihood, he's already previously married. Somebody doesn't become a Kayin Gadol when he's 18. A person becomes a Kayin Gadol, as Elazar did when his father passed away. In all likelihood, he's already married. He now has a mitzvah sase say, according to the Rambam, he has a mitzvah to now take a wife. So I suppose he should now get married. But 1 minute, he's not going to have to.